you went there.
Why?
Just sit down. Hello.
I'd like a half a dozen of your best Spanish flies, please.
No comprendo inglés, señor.
What do you say?
No hablo inglés.
Oh, you know speaking English?
No, señor.
Fly. Español, Spanish fly. You understand?
No. No sabe, señor.
Fly. Español, Spanish fly. You understand? Maybe I better do this different. Señorita. Okay? Señorita and a señor. And the señor has a español, Spanish fly. He takes the español and he gives it to the señorita. And the señorita takes the español and eats it. Okay, now the señor starts to wait around for a few minutes, you know. And pretty soon, the señorita's starting to feel real hot. Just real hot. She's just starting to just foam at the mouth. And this guy, he just waits a few minutes longer. Then he takes the señorita and just... And just fucks her brains loose. You get it?
All
right. Oh, run!
Run! Here's the ditty. About $1 million man, a giant mercenary, and a Hulk Hogan. Baby oil and blow is on.
This is next level.
Long before the thrill of Lunavershawn.
This isn't like our usual weeks when we just go into it. I feel like you had this one ready on the drive over
well,
here.
Well, you know, you were sitting on this one. I was inspired. I was thinking about John Mellencamp earlier tonight. And I said to myself,
the Coug.
I said, hey, when's the last time we paid a little tribute to Indiana's own?
I can't remember the last time I paid any homage to John Mellencamp.
Yeah, so we were due.
Famous Indiana dickhead.
Right. Now, did I want to do something with pink houses? Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't?
If you would have warned me, I would have laid down some of that Michelle and Dege Ocello bass line with my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, that's a cool song.
Could have really got some going there.
Is on him.
The Cougar, he's pretty cool.
Yeah, the coolest.
Wonder if he owns any restaurants.
Unless you listen to anyone who's met him in real life, and then it turns out,
now you
maybe not.
Know while you were
maybe
going
not.
To school down in Bloomington.
That's right.
I saw
Indiana
him.
Indiana University represent.
I saw him at that big four-way interstop by
He was driving around all day, every day.
Four-way interstop, whatever that
his
is.
His daughter was enrolled in the school at the same time.
Yeah, it was...
You heard a lot of stories around that town of like, oh yeah, John Mellencamp was in here earlier. Biggest dickhead I've ever met in my life.
No, that's not true. I was at that intersection. It's like right when you start getting off campus and start getting into Bloomington.
Yeah.
It's where the...
scary townies.
The Long John Silvers and the Dollar Tree. Was it a Dollar Tree?
Okay. So
you know where that is?
Never shop at a Dollar Tree. How would I know?
Where that is. Yeah, but it was right over there. We were stopped. It was a pretty busy intersection. Mm-hmm.
There were Dennis Quaid and all of his dirty townie friends are, riding around on bikes and jumping into quarries. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I used to think I was a really great quarterback in high school. Still think so, too. Can't even bring myself to light a cigarette because I keep thinking I gotta stay in shape. You know what really gets me, though? I mean, here I am, I gotta live in this stinking town. And I got to read in the newspapers about some hotshot kid, new star of the college team. Every year is going to be a new one. Every year is never going to be me. I'm just going to be Mike. 20-year-old Mike. 30-year-old Mike. Old mean old man Mike. These college kids out here, they're never going to get old or out of shape. because new ones come along every year. They're gonna keep calling us cutters. To them is just a dirty word. Me is just something else I never got a chance to be.
And he was just sitting there in his convertible, top down, and I just yelled, "Cougar!" And he just gave me like a head nod and a wave, like a, "Hey, man.
Hey.
You're right, I am the cougar."
They don't call me that anymore. I made him stop.
He was cool with it.
Why would, like, there's nothing more confusing to me ever than a guy who's known as John Cougar Mellencamp.
And being
coolest,
like,
fucking name ever. And then at some point in his career being like, you know what? Let's drop the cougar part, which is fucking awesome. And let's just do the normal guy name part.
I'm just going to do that from now on.
At least he didn't try to be Jonathan Mellencamp.
Was he trying to become like an actor at that point? I don't remember. Was he like in anything?
There's got to be like an audition reel out there or something that we can find. Just him trying to be in movies.
Like Prince dropping his name. Like, I'm not Prince anymore. I'm just this symbol.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, I get that.
That was a big fuck you to everybody.
Yeah,
that's Prince's bag, man.
And I'm pretty sure that was like
he's an enigma.
That was his way of getting out from whatever contract he was on.
That makes a lot of sense.
He was like, well, I'm not recording albums as Prince.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was something lame like that where Cougar like had fucking the rights to the Cougar.
No,
fucking
Cougar's a
bundled
good man
up somewhere, and he was like, I need to release my own music, man.
I feel like he'd be like, no, man, like I made an agreement with you people. We had a pact. I'm going to honor that.
Definitely not.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Not the John Cougar Mellencamp I've heard about.
My most likely one day brother-in-law, his young cousin was in a Cougar, John Cougar Mellencamp video. And this is like a couple years back.
What a tangled web we weave.
Yeah. Or no, she was on the cover of one of his albums.
Okay. It makes, yeah.
And she's only like 17 in the photo, I think, which is like pretty cool.
That's
borderline
right there.
She was also in that Tequila Makes Her Clothes Come Off video.
That's not true. That was Justin the Laser Mazer Southern Thunder's little sister.
Oh, is that? Oh, I'm mixing people up now.
Jeez,
yeah.
Cheese and crackers.
She was in another country music video then. I knew we knew somebody that was in that one.
Maybe we know multiple people who were in the video for Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off.
I didn't know
there's a lot of young starlets out there trying to find their break, Matt.
I just didn't realize how close you and I were to, like, making it big in the country music scene.
We never tried, really. Like, maybe if we would have looked into it, it would have been something we could have gotten into.
If we just get our character Dierks Cuntley off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Just write out a couple songs.
Hey, this all writes itself right here.
Yeah.
I mean, we could bang out a country album if we just didn't record this podcast and spent the next hour and 15 minutes like spitballing lyrics instead.
And bang out a 16-year-old just like those country
legends
before us.
No, that's after we get it recorded. Then you get the 16-year-old.
You
want to
be my video girl? Hey, girl, you want to be my video?
Look like you look good in cowboy boots and short pair of jeans.
What kind of country guy are you going to be? Well, you already got like the beard and the longer hair.
I kind of want to be like just like the old like sleazy manager who like smokes cigars and exploits people.
Huh.
Just like behind the scenes, you know?
I got a mustache going right now.
Yeah, pretty cool.
That might help.
It's pretty cool.
But I don't think they're using those in country right now, are they?
You have to get tighter jeans. I know that.
Yeah. Oh, I got
tight jeans are never not happening in country. So that's on my.
Well, you gotta show off your buns.
That may be the last
we've
industry
talked.
Left.
I was just gonna
who
say
who still appreciates a good pair of man buns.
We've poo-pooed.
Action movies used to be all about the man buns.
Yeah,
but then Hollywood was like, I've decided that women aren't into hot man buns anymore. And I was like, no. Pretty sure everybody likes a nice pair of buns, man.
It's pretty much women that like country music stars, and then women that say they like to watch football just for the pants.
Oh,
I think that counts too. Unless they're all just talking about
line. I've never had anybody say that to me.
Unless they're just talking about looking at like big black dongs.
Look at all those buns.
And like tight white pants.
No, women don't like wieners. I don't know a single one of them that'll admit to it.
Yeah, they won't admit to it.
But buns.
That's all they're thinking about.
You got to admit you like buns. We're bringing buns back.
We're bringing buns back. But before we do that, we're going to talk about wrestling because this is Baby Oil and Blow. I am your one host.
Show.
The Matt O, the Big O, baby. You are going to be...
it's got to be me.
You're
going to
be
anything else.
The Chase to My Brooks. I think that was a country group, right? Brooks and Chase.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Chase Brooks could just be a new star that we pull out of thin air.
If that's not a thing already, that's the name of our country duo. You are Nate
Chase
Adams.
Brooks. He's ahoy hoy. He's fucking opening for Dierks Cuntley. We got a big worldwide tour going.
Or if he's not a country star,
multi-millions of dollars.
It's a guy that Vince brings in from TNA and doesn't let him keep his name.
Oh, you got to change that name. Yeah, they might. Yeah, I think
that's Chase Brooks.
What's that guy in the tag team, the Naturals?
Was watching that the other day.
Watching a TNA match with the Naturals.
No. I was watching that Something Else to Wrestle With, and they talked about him specifically. Mm. Oh God, it's Chris Harris.
No, that's America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
He came in as Braden Walker.
Braden Walker. What team were you talking
about? Just like some team in early TNA that was like their blowjob fucking pretty boy good guys or whatever. Doesn't matter. A couple little long-haired guys that
don't matter.
Went out there and wrestled.
They had the fake Elvis guys for a minute.
Flying Elvises? Yeah. Hell yeah. Puppet the Angry Dwarf was doing a lot of stuff back then. That roster was stacked, brother.
It's all about Shark
Boy. Stacked top to bottom.
Shark Boy can still go.
Give me a shark, yeah, or whatever he said.
Yeah. What's this guy do? Oh, he wears a shark mask and he does a pretty good Stone Cold. Put him on TV.
Enough for me.
Yeah.
That's one step above that Man Cow character, Stone Cold E.T., who wore an E.T. mask and did Stone Cold's voice. At least Shark Boy wrestled.
Stone Cold E.T. is pretty funny, too, though.
I like I like anything Man Cow does, really. I celebrate his entire catalog.
Adoy.
Just kidding. It was all downhill after Turd left.
Ooh. Poor Turd. The bartend that he worked at? Or how about the bar that he worked at?
Okay, Turd worked at a bar.
Yeah.
News to me.
What?
Gonna start drinking there. Which bar is it?
I don't even know if it's open anymore. It's called Pauly's. It was in South Heights.
Kurt, where have you been? Everybody's asked me for 10 years. I don't know. You and I have not spoken.
Right.
We text each other Merry Christmas and stuff like that, but... Right.
Ice cream shop?
Oh, that's gone.
No. That's gone.
Wait for that airport. That was a good idea.
Good idea to sell ice place. It's cold 9 months a year.
Yeah. That was a really good idea. Then, of course, I bartended, of course. And
good.
Those
still
were
at Pauly's Pub?
Yeah, there, and I was doing a little bit at Ridgewood, and then I worked lockup for a while, which didn't work out too good because I knew everybody who went to jail.
Right.
You worked in a jail?
Yeah.
Was it awful?
The first day I was alone, a guy hung himself.
Oh,
they cut him down.
Well, how about Al? How do you think he feels? He was born hung.
That's awesome.
Okay.
And then I'm a garbage man.
You're a garbage man?
Yeah, I work for Republic Services.
Nice.
I love it. Dude, all you can eat all day.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm going to be doing some drinking and driving, because that's a little bit of a haul from here, but
I don't think it's
got to happen.
Deal.
It's got to happen.
Shit, you take exchange right back to 394, middle of the night.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Keep it under 70. Keep it in one lane. Yeah. Make sure your headlights are on.
County You're fairs gold. In town. They've been doing traffic stops.
Ooh.
That weird Coke dealer texted me the other night to make sure I knew. And I was like, thanks for looking out, brother.
Thanks
for looking out.
Please try and lose my number. Please.
I was drunk that one night.
New phone.
You pressured
who
me
is?
Into giving it to you. Actually, I've been having some phone troubles recently where it's just too many people that I don't want to have my phone number at this point. So next time I get a little opportunity, I'm going to be going over to that phone store and getting a new phone.
Yeah.
Phone, but just a new SIM card or whatever I got to get that new phone number plugged in there.
Yeah. Oh, you should have told me when I got my new phone. You can get a new phone. Buy one, get one, but the second one has to be a completely new phone number. And I was like, who the fuck wants a new phone number this day and age?
At this point,
turns out you did.
Newborn babies and me, who doesn't want people to be able to contact me anymore. So if you're a personal friend, look out for that in the next couple weeks. Maybe you'll make the grade and I'll text you what my new number is. Maybe I won't, and then we'll never speak again.
You're wearing sweatpants. It's Monday.
So? So that's against the rules, and you can't sit with us. Whatever.
Can't sit with us!
I have a feeling your phone's going to get boiled down to about 15 to 20 contacts.
15 to 20 sounds spot on, actually.
I'm saying your cousin Jared's
some real insight you got
on the bubble.
He's going to have to do something to really, get me convinced that he's making the grade in this next week or so.
Yeah. I say you make sure you carry Davey R. Schleister's number in there.
Okay.
But then every time you get a text from him, just be like, I don't know who this is.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Strange man. I'm going to need you to stop harassing me.
Yeah.
Get a life.
I don't have this number saved in my phone.
Hey,
I'm not certain who
you are. Whoever this is, get a life.
Going
to get into this rundown now.
Yeah?
This week it's brought to us by the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore.
Mm.
It's, you know, these national parks, they're beautiful. Yesterday I took a little drive up there.
Get you some.
Did
you hike the dunes?
I hiked right past where all those ham and eggers are bunched up, like creating tent villages and swimming 6 inches away from each other in each other's piss, and found a nice isolated area out in the middle of nowhere. And
you're
swimming
in that high school girl piss. It's kind of cool.
That's the dream right there. Yeah. But,
when I get rich, I'm going to have swimming pools filled with it, damn it.
Maybe you don't have to be rich for that, I don't think. No, you just get a bunch of high school girls drunk on cheap beer and invite them to a pool party.
That's true.
I found myself a nice little patch of sand with nobody around, and I just laid out there with my phone turned off and listened to the birds and the waves for a while. It's the only time I haven't been totally stressed out in, like, the last fucking week.
Huh?
Because people are just fucking piling their problems on top of me all day, every day. That's why I gotta go into hiding and get rid of this fucking phone. So, God bless these national parks.
I was dead.
Support your local.
I was dead and went off grid.
Yeah.
And just,
you had that pneumonia.
Hunkered down on the couch.
Uh-huh.
And just did nothing
for
a couple
couch.
Of days.
Love that couch.
Just on the couch. And so, I'm gonna say that the rundown is also sponsored by WWE Network.
Okay, wow.
And Jack's Frozen Pizzas.
Pounding a lot of WWE Network during your recovery,
pizzas.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, there you have it. We've got a lot of great sponsors. Go out there, support them. What they're sponsoring is our rundown of Primetime Wrestling.
Not just any episode.
From March 21st, 1988, if you're thinking you're going through your mental Rolodex, you're
Catch
right.
Catch my drift, bro.
You're right. This is the go-home show going into WrestleMania 4.
Boom.
Biggest damn show of the year, 1988. So how are we going to start it off? With the Killer Bees versus Conquistadors match.
Boom! Putting asses in the seats.
How's it end? The Bees put on masks and start coming in and out without tagging, just like the Conquistadors do.
Everybody's cheating.
They're fucking just turning the tides on them, giving them a taste of their own medicine. The refs none the wiser, because WWF refs are morons.
That's Dave Hebner.
Eventually one of them, you know, gets a tag after a little switch.
There's no tag.
Something happens. No, there's a switch, you know.
They just
there's
kept
no tag
switching.
I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
At some point, they won.
The Bees won.
I think they won.
Yeah.
Second match. Special Delivery Jones is in there versus.
Oh, it must be WrestleMania.
Not yet the Brooklyn Brawler Lombardi.
Student of the Terry Garvin School of Self Defense.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Fun fact.
Have you caught that one? We'll dissect that.
Okay.
Later.
We'll get into that. Brawler wins with a quick roll up. Get some decent boos for winning. Crowd didn't want to see that. Hercules in there versus Scott Casey. Big Scott Casey, not big enough. The mighty Hercules reverses a bulldog and then taps him with the torture rack. Great move. Seeing Herc use it.
Yeah. Torture rack.
Greg,
yeah.
The Hammer Valentine in there versus leaping but not so high these days, Lanny Poffo. Mm-hmm. He's got about an extra 20 or 30 pounds on him.
Right? Yeah.
Hammer wins with a figure four leg lock. Got to drop some weight. Lanny Poffo, you're going to be that guy doing all that high-flying stuff.
Totes.
Honky Tonk Man, he's in there versus Jim
it's
Evans.
Honky Tonk Man.
We got straight-up just Honky Tonk Man squash, a rare occurrence here.
Yeah.
Shake, rattle, and roll, no problem. People are furious. They don't want to see this. So then Honky's like, well, now I'm going to sing to you. That makes him even madder. Junkyard Dog in there versus a gigantic hunk of shit named Steve Petraski.
Okay, hold on now. That wasn't his name. His name was George Petraski.
George Petraski?
And he's Chicago's own George Petraski.
He literally looks like one of those mustachioed fellas in those old Chicago SNL sketches.
He trained under Ox Baker as the Russian Brute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's wrestled in the region.
Wow.
Sir.
Still, to this day, can we go out and see an old, broken down, like, 75-year-old George Petraski?
And he's even fatter, and he was with that nightclub owner that got shot in Vegas in that last Pac-Man Jones dust-up.
I forgot Pac-Man Jones was the thing. Speaking about TNA alumni, that guy was a big part of their roster for a while.
So it's kind of a big deal.
Name is George Petraski. Got that wrong because, you know, I was watching this real late. That's why the next match, Ken Patera versus Tom Stone, dozed off a little bit.
Tapped out. Yeah. Oh, the Nate Adams
no more.
Tap out.
Old man doze off. Didn't quite see how that one ended.
Count? No.
Ken Patera did it, man. I saw that red, white, and
full
blue
Nelson.
Singlet, and whew, the eyelids were getting
full
heavy.
Nelson.
But luckily, I was able to recover and come back strong.
We're not gonna.
Heard the Ultimate Warriors theme music.
Oh yeah.
He's in there versus King Harley Race in our main event. Warrior wins with a roll up. Weird way for Warrior to win a match.
How about it?
So, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it for the rundown.
We are never going to ever talk about Ken Patera.
Never have I ever.
Ever. So, I just want to go back to him real quick.
I talk about him a lot because it's usually like you doing this right here where you're like, Ken Patera sucks. Get him off.
You didn't probably notice because you were asleep, I'm assuming.
I'm going to guarantee whatever you're saying.
Before Patera put Stone in that full Nelson, he put you in that sleeper hold that was this match.
Fading fast.
Right before he sets up and does the full Nelson, he does this clothesline to Stone, right? Or some hit or some shit. And Stone hits the ground, and instead of just laying there flat... He kind of like rolls to his left shoulder, away from Patera, and Patera
like to be like spooned or something. Maybe
no, he just Patera's standing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Stone hits the ground and then kind of rolls almost to his shoulder.
He's
right?
Showing him your ass. That's an invitation.
So Patera, like a complete dickhead, drops an elbow to the side of the guy's head, completely unbeknownst to Mr.
Like
Stone.
Knocked him a little silly.
Oh my god! Like he hits him flush. With his elbow, because this poor dude has no idea that this
is
coming.
A man. That's a lot of muscles coming down on you. Ken Patera.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe I need to give you a second look. I like those cheap shots.
Oh, well, this was quite the cheap shot, my friend. Mm. Quite the cheap shot.
It's my style of wrestling.
We got some
RASSLIN.
We got a thing now that we do.
We got a five count.
We talk about the things.
We got a five count. We each have 5 points that we talk about. About the show that we just ran down. Let's dissect this show.
My number one, or whatever order it is.
Yeah.
Meaningful show.
You said that right. The whole thing, all about WrestleMania 4.
Right.
Takes place at the venue for WrestleMania 4. We're at Trump Casino or whatever the fuck it was in Atlantic
Correct.
City. Correct. We're getting like a tour of the whole place. Gorilla and Bobby... You know, they're going to the gym. They're going to the craps table.
Doing Gorilla and Heenan shit.
All about promo in this upcoming pay-per-view.
We just ran down the entire card of the show. And you listen to those matches, and you're like, well, there's a couple of them where you're like, oh, yeah, maybe I'd watch that. But you're like, oh, SD Jones, Skip, Ken Patera, Killer Bees, Conquistadors.
Next.
But they still managed to make it worthwhile and... make it seem like, oh, there's a reason we're showing these matches. We've spent a lot of time talking about Hulk Hogan, Million Dollar Man, the tournament, all this other stuff, Demolition.
A lot of story going into this tournament for the WWF Championship.
And now they have all these other matches, and they're just like, either way, this guy's going to be in the 20-man Battle Royal.
Ooh,
maybe this is why you need to watch out for
relevance
him. Take
right
a look
there.
Here. But they just, everything was with build. It was for a reason. It wasn't just like, well... everybody wrestles on the show in 30-second matches, and everybody gets a chance to talk
on the
show.
Also, they're
going to
be wrestling again in like 7 upcoming shows of various dates.
Right. It was laid out well.
This is maybe like the pinnacle of that WWF focus, where
yeah.
they just pick something to promote and promote the hell out of it.
It wasn't, I'm not saying it was great or anything, and it wasn't.
I love anytime you're going to get Brain and Bobby outside of the studio.
Yeah, that's
kind
of
phone
fun.
It in
that's
and just riff back and forth when they're in the studio. When you're doing these on-location shots, they got to pay attention a little bit more. They got to come up with some shit they're doing. Doesn't let them just like float through the fucking thing, and you always get gold. Whenever they're out on location, always get gold.
And you're going into my number two right there, so we can start to jump into that,
let's
too.
Just go right into it.
But like
let's
I said,
just moving.
My number one, again, I'm not saying it was the greatest episode of primetime ever or the best thing to watch.
Oh, no,
but
that was August 27th, 1990. Everybody knows that.
Totally.
Just all over the internet. It's won all the polls.
Absolutely. But watching this, I was never like, this is a real chore. I was just kind of like, yeah.
If I wasn't watching this at like 5 in the morning, yeah. I might have even been able to get through that Ken Patera match.
Absolutely. I did. And I was just like, yeah, this is on the TV. I'm watching it.
I got to tell you what, though. You know, like, finally got through it and was like, okay, got through it. It's really late.
Yeah.
Eyelids heavy. Yeah, now it's time to go to bed. And as soon as I laid down to go to bed, I wasn't falling asleep.
No, why?
I'm at the very end of that sickness where, like, the only thing left is just when you try to go to sleep, you start coughing. That fucking little phase where, like, oh, I haven't coughed for the last 16 hours. Now that I'm trying to go to sleep, I can't stop coughing all of a sudden.
See, I had the opposite.
That shit's annoying.
I could sleep, no problem, but no sleep was ever enough sleep. And then if I was awake during the day, I was just coughing all day and dying and out of energy.
That sounds like a dream to me. Yeah, well, I would just sleep always and never wake up.
That's what I ended up doing. Just WWE Network, Jack's Pizzas, and sleeping.
I had one day where I just stayed up and played that Super Nintendo Zelda all night long.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty nice. It was a nice little
got that in the prime.
Shutting off of my brain, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I would have put on maybe Lives Throwing Copper.
A little background noise. I like enjoying that Zelda soundtrack. Japanese composers did a lot. Great job.
I remember the Game Boy Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was called. Some
nerd will let us know.
Or something. It was a good game, but I played it on the Super Game Boy, you know, where you could play Game Boy games on your Super Nintendo.
Yeah, that was... Yeah. Love that.
I beat that game thoroughly and pretty much just listened to Lives Throwing Copper every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just come home from school, throw on Throwing Copper.
Sounds
my
like
Sony
probably around
boombox.
The same era when I was reading X-Men 2099 comics and listening to Purple by, what the fuck is that? Weiland's band, the Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, nice, nice.
That was a solid album.
Quick shout out. There's still time to get tickets if you're in the suburbs of Chicagoland.
Yeah, which we are. So
we're going to that big Counting Crows live concert.
Oh, okay, yeah.
At the,
thought we were about to promote a wrestling show. I was like, what's coming up?
That. Hollywood Casino, Northwest Amphitheater of Tinley.
Come out
whatever.
And see us. We'll be in the grass.
It's the New World.
We don't
music
buy
theater.
Seats like a sucker.
No, we're not bougie like that.
Uh-uh.
We're common people, man.
I need to be amongst the people.
Yeah.
I need to breathe in all their weird shit
Fuck,
they got going on.
Yeah, you want to hang out, lay down in the grass.
I want like high school kids just like
fucking listen to Rain King.
Puffing big clouds of marijuana smoke my way. And then I got to like wave my hand in front of my face and yell at them like, that's still illegal, you know?
Yeah, but we'll cheers anybody else with a Miller Lite. Probably like a 1250 Miller Lite at that.
That's what they're still slinging at the... I haven't been there in a good 20 years or something.
I don't know.
Miller Lite's going to be our beer choice.
Juice's,
they didn't get bougie up there.
Juice's mom just went there to see Lynyrd Skynyrd in 38 Special the other night. So I'll have to
yeah,
ask
she
her
did.
What
yes,
they were
she
serving.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, I kept telling her she was up in a skybox. I was like, she's like, I don't know what I'm going to wear. I'm like, I got it all laid out for you.
Okay.
It's a tube top.
I was going to say, what do you
so
think?
So you can pull your titties
the,
out.
What do you think
flash
the chances are
really
she kept her top on that whole show?
And then number
I think
two,
pretty low.
Number two, it's a leather mini skirt, no panties. So everybody below you looking up at the skybox can
you
see
go.
Right up there. Duh.
And you look down at it and be like, fuck you, perv.
Fuck you, perv. That's for my husband. Mm-hmm. Like she'd never been to like a Southern rock show. What the
she
fuck?
She knows exactly what she's doing.
What the fuck?
Play dumb with us, Mama Juice.
So my number two was everything Heenan did in this episode.
Great stuff.
You could cut all the wrestling segments and all the special reports out.
You'd be doing me a great favor if
and
you did,
just
quite frankly.
Give me like the 15 or 20 minutes of Heenan and Monsoon
ordering
yucking it up.
Fruity drinks to the fucking poker table or whatever they were doing, and then skipping out on the bill and making Gorilla pay for them.
I knew we were in for some real magic when the episode started with Gorilla getting out of the limo and Heenan wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny, you know Johnny the doorman.
Yeah, he's famous. He still works there.
He's like, who?
Still works there to this
and
day.
He's like, oh, my co-host, Bobby the Brain Heenan. He's like, I never heard of him, Mr. Monsoon. And he's like, oh, boy, where's this guy at? And he goes inside, and there's the brain.
is having trouble booking a room.
Arguing with that bimbo because she couldn't find his room reservation that Miss Betty made.
So now he's got to crash in Gorilla's suite.
Oh, jeez.
Setting up cots in Gorilla's suite. This guy's such a burden on Monsoon.
I loved him calling that woman a bimbo and her actually calling him out and being like, don't call me names, bro, just because you can't get a room.
He was right, though. Miss Betty made that reservation. She's very reliable. Oh, yeah. This bimbo needs to pull her head out of her ass.
And he kept threatening her, like, do you like this job?
I knew.
Do you want to work the front desk?
I knew the Gorilla was going to find some excuse to flash some fucking wads of cash after all the stories I've heard for so long about how he was always carrying wads of cash, how every fucking, you know, dealer in every casino across the country fucking knew him, and all he would do is fucking gamble. He must have been
gamble, die
at the height of his fucking powers here.
Oh yeah,
coming into WrestleMania 4, having it be at a casino. Working at a casino, that's the dream. Just ask Britney Spears. She's really turned it around, Matt.
Hell yeah,
she's looking great these days.
She's doing great. Jamie Lynn is...
wait, how's she doing?
I don't
know. I had kind of forgotten that Jamie Lynn existed, quite frankly.
I think she had another kid.
Oh, what's that, like 9? She up to 9?
I don't know. This one she had, as an adult, though.
Should have asked Jusevich. Maybe she saw her at that 38 special.
She might have been. Yeah, Jamie Lynn Spears might have been at that show, actually. That scene where Gorilla is hitting the blackjack table.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't an act. He was really winning.
Oh, yeah.
Those hands. Like, he's that good.
They probably filmed that for like 8 hours just to get that like 3 minutes of stuff. He was just sitting there pounding away. That poor dealer.
That's what they tell you.
We got Bobby Heenan saying he's going to the fitness center. Gorilla catches him pretending like he's working out. Yeah. He's not really working out.
He was kind of working out.
I don't know how Heenan's going to do in this big 6-man tag coming up at WrestleMania 4.
After a couple seconds on that bike and then the bicep curl machine.
Yeah.
He was Lex Luger sweaty.
Well, he had a lot of layers of sweatpants and sweatshirts on.
Don't forget the amount of booze that's probably in that system.
I'm sure Trump ain't shelling out for too much AC in his properties, I wouldn't imagine.
Turn it down real low. I want you to have the gym air conditioning at about 78 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make it a balmy 78.
You got Bobby the Brain Heenan, though. He's training for a big match, so you're promoting WrestleMania 4. You're promoting the gym in your partner's hotel. We're getting fucking corporate synergy here, man.
Corporate synergy.
Focused like a laser this episode.
I really like that huge golden Andre versus Hogan sign that they had.
If you're going to have fucking something at a Trump property, make it gaudy.
That was awesome.
If they're letting you set something up in a Trump property, you better make it gold. You better make it gaudy.
I want to know who's basement.
That's what those fucking white assholes that go stay in his hotels want. Give it to them.
I want to know who whose basement or garage that piece ended up in.
Oh, that's a good question. Probably one of the Hebners like sold it on the black market or something before they got shit canned.
Oh yeah, they were quick to take stuff.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. My number one problems I'm having with this WWE Network app you're talking so fondly of. It's got this real annoying bug on my Apple TV app.
Yeah.
Where whenever I try to scroll down all the way to the beginning of 1988.
Yeah,
I get about halfway through the year, and then it
bumps
me back to 89. Oh, it's doing it to you too.
Oh yeah.
Took me like 5 or 6 tries to get all the way down to that column so I could fucking punch in this episode from the beginning of 1988.
I'm telling you,
WWE, it's 2018. Get your fucking shit together. You can't have buggy apps.
It's not WWE. It's that fucking touch swipe remote.
What? No, I don't have any problems on any other apps.
I'm telling you. Well, you don't scroll through so much bullshit as you do with this app.
That's probably true. If you're scrolling that long in another app, it's like a right-to-left orientation.
Yeah.
It's not a vertical orientation. Yeah. That might be the problem. They're giving real long vertical lists.
Down, down, and then eventually your thumb moves just
like
the wrong way.
Quarter of a little baby.
And that Apple remote's like,
quarter of a baby dick.
Go to the left.
Ooh, you're back in 1989. Ah, now I got to get back in 88 and then scroll all the way down again. Fuck this.
I was going to say, do you audibly swear the way I do?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, motherfucker! Yeah.
Little babies waking up in the back of the house. People asking me not to swear because there's children around. And I'm like, I pay the bills in this house. Get right back into a number two, I guess, because you did two here. Let's talk a little bit about that Bees versus Conquistadors match.
I like the Conquistadors, so this works.
This is one of my earliest memories. For some reason, this match just like jarred something loose. You know, you get those like smell memories every once in a while. You like smell something and it just takes you right back to a place. Man, I think this might have been the first ever episode of Primetime Wrestling I watched back in 1988, because I remember very vividly, as soon as I saw it, this match where the good guys were getting cheated by the bad guys with the masks, so they pulled out masks and cheated back, and it blew my mind. I was like, this shit is great. So I think my earliest memories, I was saying a little bit ago, was that that fucking angle they did at the main event where they brought in the twin like refs.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably about the time in my budding fandom where I realized, hey, there's fucking shows on other nights too. It's not just correct. Saturday morning. No. Like, they do this shit other nights.
I can watch this whenever.
So yeah, pretty. And also, I just remember all of the stuff, like you were saying, in the casino as well. Like, this is very, very vividly just being like, right, these two fucking jokesters tooling around this casino. This show's great.
Must be nice.
99% certain. I was getting all these weird memories back. This is the first episode of Primetime Wrestling I ever watched as a kid. And it was the beginning of just a love affair where this show would last 1 hour past my bedtime.
Ooh,
so my mother would always tell me that I could only watch the first hour and then I had to go to bed. So I had to always rely on the fact that she went to bed earlier than me.
Nice.
Then I would just stay down there, turn the volume down real low, and be like, oh, God, I can't let her know. And if I heard her coming, man, had to just, ooh, do that thing where I'm zonked out on the couch. Yeah. Ooh, sorry, you're right.
I probably should be
in bed because I can't even stay awake through this whole show. Falling asleep on the, can you believe it, lady?
You're totally the parent.
What a boner I pulled.
Oh, boy.
You hear that, Penny? I was watching every week on Monday. I was staying up an hour past my bedtime. Every goddamn week.
Booner.
It was a stupid rule anyways. I wasn't tired. I just wanted to watch wrestling.
I did the same thing. I'd sit up in my room just listening to fucking like Casey Counts Them Down.
Okay.
At a radio.
I was thinking you were going back to just like listening to Live Throwing Copper.
I love you.
You're like 17 years old. Old Lynn's yelling at you. You gotta go to bed. You got school in the morning.
Just let me listen through Live one more time, Mom. It progressed into me like listening to the radio at night. Like, oh, I'm just gonna leave the radio on, and then I'd be like up and just be like, I can't sleep. And then before I knew it, I was listening to Loveline at a very too young of an age.
Mm-hmm. Listened to a lot of Loveline.
And like
back
that
in the
shit
day
came on late
before Adam Carolla turned into a angry old man who just repeats the same four things over and over again in an old man growl.
Stacy.
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I have currently been with my boyfriend for about 2 years.
Uh-huh.
We started having sex about a year into our relationship, and our sex life used to be great. And then we broke up for about a month and a half, and now that we've been back together, he's not in the mood as much as he used to be, and I don't know what it is. He says that,
Hold on, what's going on back there? Cash register or something?
No, I'm playing a game on my phone.
Oh, okay. All right.
On your phone?
I think she's playing like some Game Boy thing.
But she said it was on the phone.
Well, I think she's on the phone. Should we get that straightened out before?
Yeah, a lot of the games come on phones now.
Oh, really? Hey, Stacy?
Yeah.
You're playing a game on your phone?
Well, I'm on my house phone, but I was playing a game on my cell phone.
Oh.
It's addictive. I can't.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, Stace?
Yeah.
I do know the answer to this, and so does Drew.
Okay.
But hang on. We got to play some Donkey Kong, bitch. Jesus Christ. The people never get tired of insulting me, do they, Drew?
Well, you've been a little crabby lately. You're easily insulted.
How much time do you think this Stacy logs on national radio shows?
You can remember, these guys, though, kids that age, kids, young people are used to doing computer and phone. It's like, if they're on the phone, they got to be doing something computer.
That's fine. But turn the sound off. How many times do you get to ask Dr. Drew your question? You really got to play a video game during the part where you're asking the question? Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Yeah.
Do you think she gets time to play that during the day?
No.
Okay. Stacy, that's fine. We'll just put you on hold for a little bit. We'll get back with you.
God, that's probably the direction we're going in.
Oh, absolutely.
How long do you think before we're old?
2 years.
Adam Carolla angry.
2 years, if that. I have a feeling we drink more than he does.
This podcast is probably going to get pretty popular with like all those real right-wing young kids who are mad because no women will have sex with them, so they just lash out on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
Once we get Adam Carolla angry, I'm going to be raking in all those angry young man dollars.
I can't wait. Anyone's dollars.
No.
So
greenbacks is greenbacks, yo.
Yeah.
I appreciate the support. You're like in the KKK, whatever. I'll take your money.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to you about it necessarily.
Came out that that guy's a child molester. Whatever. He's a monthly subscriber.
Money still spends the
also,
same.
Also, we're going to have to start having monthly subscribers now. I've decided we're putting this shit behind a paywall. Good. It's enough letting people listen to this for free. Come on.
You've had almost a year of it.
Yeah, geez.
You cheap sons of bitches.
Creepy motherfuckers. Like, oh, it's not like there's 1,000 other fucking podcasts out there with just two guys with no credentials talking about wrestling. Where are you going
to
go?
I went to
You got no choice.
I went to a media school. There's a credential. Oh, yeah, here's another one. Go fuck yourself.
Big time.
Yeah. Listen to that, kids.
Matt shoots hard on the audience.
Bam.
There's a headline for you, Dave Meltzer.
Give that 4.5 stars.
I've noticed when people start bitching about Dave Meltzer on their podcast, they get real popular, so we got to do that more.
Yeah, how many stars do you give that, Dave Meltzer, anytime we say something really offensive?
Definitely.
So, which is often.
Yeah, I edit out most of it.
Go, oh, so that thing about...
That's my little secret with me.
So, the thing about the swimming pool full of high school girl pee?
Oh, no, there ain't nothing offensive
okay,
about that.
Okay, all right, cool. Put a Dave Meltzer star thing after
definitely.
That, okay? Edit it, fix it in post. What are we at?
Number three.
Three, yeah, we got those. Boop, boop, boop. I gotta scroll because you know I talk about so much.
Then you're not in that Apple TV remoter.
Oh no, I'd be
knocking you right out of your notes.
Oh, I got the Greg Valentine versus Lanny Poffo.
Okay, let's get into it.
You got anything before that you want to
talk? Nothing pressing. So. We can get into that and then go back to whatever my three was.
Okay. Well, we get Lanny Poffo and we get a poem, but it's real short.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I was like, oh, this is gonna give Matt a chance to do his transcribing that he loves to do. He'll get to read a poem for us. We haven't done this in a while.
Right.
And then we get like just a couplet.
Ozzy
I'll
gave
tell you
us,
what, a poem ain't a couplet, man.
No. Ozzy gave us was, it looks like Greg the Hammer's lost a little off the top.
Uh-huh.
He must have been a customer of Beefcake's barbershop.
Didn't look like he was balding, though. And also, today in 2018, Greg Valentine still has all his hair. So
oh, absolutely.
What the fuck are you talking about, Lanny Poffo? Yeah. Getting a little lazy, giving us a two-line poem. You got like 30 extra pounds than you did back in those 1985 episodes you were doing. I was surprised he wasn't the genius at this point.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Seems a little late for him to still be leaping Lanny, throwing frisbees and shucking and jiving. Pretty soon, Vince gets him under that graduation robe like, oh, God damn it, Lanny, your body looks like shit.
Yeah.
Put him in a robe.
What do you do in your real life, pal?
Oh, I went to college.
College boy,
college boy, huh?
Put him in one of those robes they wear.
Oh, you think you're smarter than me? Think you're some kind of genius?
Don't let Vince think that you think you're smarter than Vince. It's the last thing to do.
Yeah.
Your career will be in the toilet.
So this match, the things I really liked about it was we got the poem and we got the... I think he worked it in this match as well, or it might have been in that brawler match. I think it was the brawler match, and I'll go back. But I know they've...
Oh, this was one of my points, too. This is great. We're
What's
getting
that?
Too out of the way. Just talking about this match.
Okay.
Turns out I had it earmarked.
All right. Well, I know somewhere over the years they've talked about Poffo, and they've dropped the Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, are you hip on that one?
No, I'm not. That's a joke that does not fly with me. I don't get what it...
But you know they say it a
lot. I get that it's some kind of burn. Yeah, I've heard him say it, and I get that it's some kind of burn.
Okay, so the thing is, they'll usually say it when anybody does like a go-behind hold.
Oh, okay.
It's usually done to jobbers.
Calling Lanny Poffo a puffer here? Is that what's going on?
Mostly done with go-behind holds because Terry Garvin was a closeted homosexual.
Ah.
Who, you know, had a wife.
Picking up what you're putting down.
Had kids.
Yeah, we call that a beard, brother.
Correct. But then got fired in, I want to say, 92.
If you have a beard as a wife and you have kids, I think then you need to call the kids mutton chops, maybe? Is that what they're called?
These are my mutton chops.
Kids of a gay man?
Wife's my beard and these are my mutton chops.
There you go.
Any hoozle, he got fired in 92 for allegedly groping ring boys and younger men, which
Yikes.
Has got to be pretty serious.
So did they stop making that joke after 92, I wonder?
Probably
not.
No,
I would assume
I'm sure
that,
you can find it
that
somewhere
kept going.
Like 93. But yeah, these were jokes that Monsoon loved to say.
Oh, yeah. Monsoon Monsoon usually says it, I think. I think, actually, I've heard Lord Alfred go to it.
I was
going to
say, Lord Alfred Hayes was a big fan of Monsoon saying it, though.
Oh, okay.
And would often add, like, I'm pretty sure Pat Patterson went there, too, Gorilla.
Cheeky Brit. You cheeky Brit.
One time, Gorilla used this in a Steve Lombardi match.
Uh-huh.
And he said that Steve Lombardi was a graduate of the Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense.
Wow, he did a lot of time
and,
there.
And to which Brain remarked something along the lines of, pass with flying colors, nailed both the oral and the physical exam or something.
It's getting pretty explicit with your double entendre. Yeah. Entendre.
Glad we could work that in there. And then the other big important thing I wanted to talk about in this match was Greg Valentine's breathing.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was talking about here. He's looking a little slow.
Oh.
So, talked about it before. I didn't really like Greg Valentine when I was a kid. Didn't get him. Thought he was a dumb old man.
Which I agree with.
But then we were watching some of his earlier stuff, and he was winning me over. And, you know, he was having solid matches.
Yeah.
He was cutting gruff, grizzled, mean old man promos, which I was loving. And I was like, oh, I was a stupid little kid. Greg Valentine's awesome. But now I'm having, you know, second thoughts again. I'm thinking, oh, maybe here's in 1988 when I was introduced to him and he's starting to slow down here. And from this point on, you know, maybe put some knee pads on or something, Greg Valentine, because I'm sick of looking at your fucking
knobby old man knees,
right. Your skinny old man legs up and to your just big wide torso giving you life with Louie body. Like, slowing down a little bit. Your matches aren't what they were in 1985. This is the Greg Valentine I was first introduced to that I was like, I don't like this guy.
This isn't for me.
He sucks. I don't care how many months he feuds with Dino Bravo. I will never turn, not Dino Bravo, Ronnie Garvin. That's what I had him feud with. The endless 3-year feud between Greg Valentine and Ronnie Garvin. I was not into it as a kid, and I'm not into it now.
But I heard that noise and I was like, what the fuck is that noise? And then I looked and it was matching with Valentine's mouth.
Uh-oh, I know what it is.
It's just
old man sucking wind.
Like, I can't even do it. Like,
he's like one of those pug dogs that's not bred to breathe correctly, so they just die all the time.
Yeah.
That was what was going on there.
I was
a hammer
concerned.
They always talk about what great stamina he has. Now he's got to get a half an hour in before he's warmed up. And I'm like, are you hearing him breathing on your mics, guys?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe maybe that's part of it. Because they even commented like, oh, he's coming out the gate hot here. Mm. Like, this isn't standard for Greg Valentine.
Should have sat back for a while. You're all about that slow burn, Greg.
I think he was
Gregory
too far into fatty foods and boozy cocktails.
Could have been.
That's just how we breathe these days.
What are we at? Did we do all yours?
That was like a 3 or my, I think that was my 3.
I got like one more left.
Oh, okay.
We're like doubling up on these, I think.
I want to talk about Honky. Our boy Honky.
Honky Tonk Man.
I like that squash,
big old
man.
Squash match, yeah. Rare. Usually Honky is the one who's getting his ass kicked and then cheating to win. Rare to see him just put a guy down.
He came out looking fucking strong. The crowd hated that he won clean and quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got even more upset when he was like, play my song, I'm going to sing my song. And then what happens? They cut his music, and he's irate. He's like, why you cut my music? I'm the Honky Tonk Man. I'm going to sing my song.
Turns out because Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
And there's the beefer.
He bullied the production truck guys to stop playing it. And he comes out. He's looking baby oiled up.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Getting a shot over his shoulder as he looks at the ring. That back of his, hairless and glistening.
Oh, like a slip and slide, pal. Before you get the grass all
sort
over
of
it.
Glorious seal.
Yeah.
Some sort of human seal hybrid.
Pretty amazing. And then I noticed Beefer, he's got a little bit of that Lex Luger promo in him where he can get like a sentence or two out where you're like, oh, man.
That's why it worked so well when they gave him his own talk show after he came back from that boating accident.
Yeah.
No, it didn't.
I got my final point.
Okay. I got another one I'm going to go back to.
Okay.
But I'm skipping ahead.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
My five was your 3 or something, and it was getting all messed up.
That's fine.
I want to talk about that Brawler SD Jones match.
Oh, yeah. We
a little
skipped
bit.
That one.
Yin to the Yang here, where the Brawler, Steve Lombardi, is in real great shape. He's in trunks.
Yeah.
He's got definition.
Yeah.
He's got mass and definition. He's cutting. I'm like, damn, I don't remember the Brawler ever looking remotely this good. I wonder how long it is between here and when he's just wearing a shirt and wrestling as the Brawler, and what happened to, like, make that change? Was it the first thing where Vince is like, you're gonna be a jobber, so he's like, fuck this, I ain't hitting the gym anymore? Or did he stop hitting the gym and Vince was like, alright, you're just gonna put a shirt on and be a jobber?
I am going to point to something else.
Okay.
And that was the steroid trials.
Oh, good call.
Because if you look,
it could have had quite a lot to do with it.
Lombardi's got body acne all over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, just finished a cycle.
Even the guys who, like, aren't, like, real big body guys on this roster at this point, though, are clearly on steroids.
Correct.
Like, all
Correct.
Of them. All a of lot them. Of steroids.
And, like,
which we support.
You can see, like, the amount of, like, acne on that dude. Like, clearly the only thing given this guy his size and definition is the fact
Those
that
roids.
He's doing juice.
Once everybody had to flush that shit, it was over.
Yeah, and I think once they all got popped, he was probably just like, well, I'm not going to work that fucking hard
yeah.
for this shit.
So the other side to this coin is SD Jones, who's, you know, not in shape. Maybe not on steroids. Maybe he's the one guy, and maybe that's why Gorilla shits all over him, even
yeah.
though he's a face every time he has a match,
right.
about how lazy he is. We get more of that fucking constant Gorilla references about how lazy he is, how he doesn't work out in the dressing room. He fucking hates this dude.
Yeah.
And here we go. This dude's losing to Steve Lombardi, so I'm thinking this is finally it for SD Jones. I mean, maybe the reason is Gorilla keeps telling this guy, you gotta fucking buy these roids, man. This is probably
yeah.
where he's getting all his cash to hit those blackjack
Bro.
Tables.
Bro.
He's the one selling these guys all these fucking needles. And
How
SG
come you
Jones
didn't buy these
like,
roids yet?
Nah, nah. And he's like, you know, Papa Gorilla wants to wet his beak. Let's, oh, you don't want to play? Fine, I'm going to bury you on commentary again. You're losing to the Brawler. This has got to be the end of SD Jones' run. I think we're
It's funny
losing
though,
to the Brawler. Got to
like,
be the end of his run.
Yeah, most likely. But, like, Jones isn't a little guy either.
No, no.
Like,
he's
got some size.
Real porky.
To him. He's just got, like, that natural
kind of.
Reminds
me quite a lot of Dusty Rhodes in the ring. He's doing a lot of just these mannerisms and these little, like, movements he does that people really like and cheer. And
but
he doesn't have to do much. He doesn't have to bump. He doesn't have to do a lot because all of his shit's over and people like it. And usually these old grizzled like wrestlers would be like, that's what you do. You do as little as possible and you get them to cheer dumb little stuff and then you're a smart worker. Now with this guy, though, they're all like, this guy's lazy. Look at him. He's not doing nothing in the ring. He's boring.
He's a boring guy.
Okay, yeah, I think that's all my points.
I got
doubled
one
up
left.
A couple of them with you. So, yeah,
I
we'll
got
call
one.
That my 3 through 5, and then we'll get to your 5 here.
Yeah.
We'll wrap this little show
it's
up.
A big one. You know what it is?
What is it?
We get the real Ultimate Warrior here.
Is it the first time when they had the entire presentation?
It's all of it. We finally get a promo from him beforehand.
There you go.
Where he's yelling. And what is it? He's yelling about anger and frustration. That's all that
that definitely
Hercules knows.
Jarred me awake.
But he dines on anger and frustration. And then I'm waiting for it. They announce, you know, King Harley Race out first. He gets the full, you know, King music, and
very
he's in the
regal,
ring.
Very
and
respectable.
I'm like, ah, man, do they have it put together by now? Like, what are we going to get here? And then there it is.
Got the total package.
And he comes running, and he almost takes out that stupid Boston cop because he runs right into him. Because he's like, get the fuck out of the way.
Put down the Dunkins and pay attention.
He's like, I don't need fucking security because I run to the ring. These people can't even touch me.
Distrusity is my security.
If these people try to touch me, I will break their arms because I'm running so hard.
Probably just like get thrown back like they touched a lightning bolt.
Probably. This match, though, was weird.
Yeah, it's so weird seeing Harley Race and the Ultimate Warrior wrestling a match together. It just feels like two dudes from two different eras who never should have touched. Yet here it is, happening in front of your face.
Really like Harley Race bumping for this asshole?
Oh, man, he's taking those warrior chops and just fucking flopping around
just,
like Tommy Chi-Town out in Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh,
just
he
a
really
big
was.
Old whale of
he
a man
really was.
Flopping around.
He takes he does like one of those Harley Race bumps, like he gets thrown out of the ring, and he tries to get back in the ring, and he's standing on the apron and gets punched in the head by Warrior, to which he just drops to his ass and then slides backwards down the ring steps, and it just starts going, whoa, whoa.
Harley Race, man. You gotta... All the stories you hear about people not respecting Ultimate Warrior. This fucking Harley Race, you think it'd be at the top of that. Like, I ain't bumping...
That's what I was expecting.
Idiot,
yeah.
But no.
Yeah.
He went out there and made this fucking green as shit dude look right. like $1 million. Warrior was a killer.
And then he got a fair amount of offense in, too. I couldn't believe how much they were making Warrior sell for.
Yeah, especially to the point where Warrior had to end the match with just like a roll-up. Like, he barely got through on the skin of his teeth. It was just like, ooh, wow, that's very interesting.
Harley,
that is not how you would have Warrior win a match at any other point in his career.
Yeah, Harley goes for a suplex. Warrior's on the apron. He's going to suplex Warrior back into the ring. Warrior slips over his shoulder and then hits like a reverse sunset roll-up.
There you go.
And he hits it clean.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he locks
it in. Didn't look bad. Didn't look bad
like,
at all.
Convincing fashion. Like he's
Matt Technician.
He's clean over the legs. Shoulders are flush. And he's got his arms just wrapped around Harley's waist.
People talk a lot of shit about this guy being an idiot, not knowing what he's doing, you know? Starting to sound like jealousy to me, Matt.
I'm thinking so.
A little bit like jealousy. We got the complete package here, and not a lot of people want to admit that.
That was spirited.
It really was.
We're going to go pay some, get the bills paid with some commercials.
Yeah, some big-time sponsors just bringing you great products. That's all we do here.
And then when we come back, we're going to do what Dave Meltzer has deemed a five-star segment.
Can't wait.
The three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Now, some kids like good, clean fun.
I do.
Some kids like to mess around.
Hold it! Everybody up.
And some kids like to fool around.
Oh! What the hell's going on?
I beg your pardon.
Care for a toke? Oh.
And that's what Pinball Summer is really all about. Things like making trouble. And making out.
I guess I haven't changed my socks in a couple of days.
Getting high.
You're lighting it the wrong way, Frankie.
And riding high.
It's on my bike! It doesn't even know how to swim!
What a stupid idea!
I'll be fine. Got an oxygen mask?
Pinball Summer. A movie that makes you wish that summer would last forever. Pinball Summer.
It's prank week at Glazier College. And the frat boys are out for blood.
You won't get away with those foolish pranks this year.
But what these party animals don't realize...
I know... command you to appear.
Is they've got three new pledges from hell.
Hey. Let's take it to a round, schmucks.
Sure.
Yes.
Wait.
Now, the ghoulies are about to learn what higher education is all about. Brewskies.
I'll just take one.
Babes.
Uh-oh. So, what's your major?
And partying hardy.
They drink our brews.
This is war.
They may flunk out on manners, but they get an A in mayhem. Ghoulies 3. Ghoulies go to college. They put the animal back in the house.
Baby oil on the scarecrow, blow on the plow.
It's great.
Bam.
Right back
Boom.
Into that melon camp. This is a melon camp themed episode.
Booze bass.
Wish now I would have known it was going this way. We could have thought of some kind of melon camp themed three count to do. But, you know, there's plenty of future episodes of Baby Oil and Blow to come. And I'm sure there's going to be plenty of melon camp talk. Cause
too many.
How do you have a podcast and not have John Cougar Mellencamp come up? That's not going
to
happen.
Which do you think will happen first? We go to a John Cougar Mellencamp show or we go
Wait,
to...
Does that guy still do shows?
I think so. Well, how many years ago was it that like... old lady wanted to have sex with us because we were playing all that cougar at the bar and she was like, did you go to the show Friday night? And we were like... Totally.
That's true, but it seems like living so near John Cougar for essentially my entire life.
Yeah.
I'd hear more about his shows going around if they were still happening, but I guess I
don't.
I don't
think he does it super often.
But okay, so next time he does, we're probably going to go and try to pick up trashy Indiana ladies.
Hell yeah.
That's for
hell
sure.
Yeah.
What's the second thing we might do?
I was going to say, which do you think we'll actually get around to doing first? Seeing the Cougar or seeing the Boss?
Oh, there's no way I'm ever seeing the Boss. Those fucking tickets go for like $1,000 and shit. Like, he's got that big cult of personality. Housewives following him everywhere. Just like, shit goes on sale, and within like 2 minutes, it's sold out, and everything's fucking jacked up five times on the black market.
I feel like we should be able to get like $100 nosebleed seats at like the United Center.
I looked into it like a couple years ago. It was a potential Christmas present for my boss-loving stepfather, and it was just like,
Jeff loves the Boss?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Grew up listening to the Boss with Jeff. That guy was a big Cougar fan, too. That's what he'd play, you know, on rotation. Boss and
like,
Cougar, Boss and Cougar. Every once in a while, throwing a little Jimmy Buffett.
Is he like Nebraska?
Oh, no, I don't think he gets like, into the, like, acoustic depressing.
What about,
like, I think it's
Greetings
all, like,
from Asbury Park? Does he like...
Definitely had some double album shit there. Definitely had The River going on.
Oh, I can
that
do The River.
Compact disc.
I can do The River.
Born in the USA was, like, you know, pretty much the main one that was going on, like, constant rotation,
yeah,
though.
I don't need that as much, but I could spend an evening.
Hey, man, I appreciate the hits.
Yeah, I could do The River and some IPAs with Jeff.
If I remember correctly, I think Jeff was... not so into it after he started having marital troubles and getting all sad. And he was like, oh, like when he'd play songs, it would rip and shit.
Yeah.
Now he's singing about fucking pussy. I hate it. Either way,
better.
I'm sure those John Cougar Mellencamp tickets, whenever those go on sale,
oh, affordable.
It's probably going to be like a $16 trip like this fucking Counting Crows show we're going to.
And I bought those secondary market, pal.
Secondary market, $16 a ticket.
That's... With service fees,
you're giving them away.
It was $90 for the four of us to go see them.
I think when the show starts, I'm gonna try to elbow my way up to the front just so I can like tip Ed Kowalczyk. Just like we didn't pay enough for
this shit.
Like,
here's a five spot.
Here you go, man. Just that's a little for you. I don't know.
Some fucking change, you know.
Get yourself something after
the
show.
Come on, baby, leave some change behind.
Oh, what are we gonna be doing after this show? Is there like a Perkins up there on that stretch of highway?
Oh,
where are we going to be going?
Okay, it's Tinley Park.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure this out.
There's the Odyssey Fun World's right there.
I mean,
there.
We're definitely going to be hitting up the closest Hooters before the show.
Ooh,
that goes without saying.
Ooh, I'm trying to think where the closest Hooters is to there.
What day is that?
It's probably a Sunday.
No, I mean the date. I completely blanked
it
now.
It's like September. I think it's the day after All In.
Okay.
Or is it the weekend?
No,
after?
Weekend.
It's the
it's
weekend
the ninth,
after.
Or the 8th or the 9th.
8th or the 9th.
One. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm picturing it. I got a lot of music box of theater things coming up too. So I got to make sure I don't have like conflicting schedules. They're doing a Midnight Lethal Weapon. They're doing a The Burbs matinee. Like there's just a lot of shit I'm going to have to get up there and get to. You know what I'm saying? Lethal Weapon and The Burbs on 35mm. Sign me up, motherfucker.
I'm just saying if we pool our money together, we can just stay in Orland overnight.
Has anybody ever done that before?
They got one of those, they got like a Sybaris or an Embassy.
Oh, one of one of those.
Not Embassy, but
whatever. Jizz-filled pool suites.
Right, but you can get
that's
a room with a full pool in it.
That's, why wouldn't you?
And we could just, I mean, we don't got to get weird with it, but we could just have our own room with a pool in it.
That's been my dream my entire life.
That'd be cool. It'd be like, we'd be like in one of those like Richie Rich movies.
Send up some,
or like Blank Check.
Send up some champagne. I don't like it. I just want to pop the bottle and pour it all over inside this pool.
We got a pool in our room.
Uh-huh.
And then you just lift right over to the amphitheater for the show.
Man, Tinley's great. It's great being just like a middle-aged white person in the suburbs. There's so much for us.
It used to be all about us.
Mm-hmm.
Movies, everything.
Back in the day, the good old days.
You know... There was no Me Too movements.
Nope.
There was nothing. It was just
got a lot of
celebrating white guys in the
raunchy,
suburbs.
Offensive stuff back then.
Yeah.
Great transition into our three count this week.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking 1980s raunchy sex comedies a little bit. Don't get it twisted. This didn't turn into Baby Oil and Blow at the movies. It's a wrestling thing. It's just a little thing I thought of. You know, I was like, maybe we're mentioning the same guys a little bit too much because we're sticking in this same 1988 era right here. Let's branch it out a little bit. Let's open up our three count this week to all eras of wrestling.
Nice.
Anybody, but let's keep it 80s themed. Go back to an 80s thing.
Bring them to a thing that
existed
in the 80s.
My concept is sex comedies were a thing in the 80s all the time. It was all about a dude trying to get his peter wet. And in every single one of these movies, he had some sort of sass-talking, annoying, crude best friend trying to push him to get laid. You gotta get laid more, man. We gotta get laid. It's all about getting laid.
I'll tie it all in for you, Squares. Okay. Ready?
Wrap it up in a nice little package.
There's a little movie called Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, love it. Is that that one about those nerds who become empowered?
Yeah, they become empowered. A bunch of nerds. And who's the foul-talking one in that, right?
That would be Booger.
Dawson, Dudley.
Call me Booger.
All right. Booger. Raheem, Taj.
Excuse, please, but why do they call you Booger?
I don't know.
Correct. And one of their greatest foes in this movie is Ogre, who was almost...
Damn straight.
Almost played...
Bloodsport's own Ogre.
Right. He was almost played by the Stinger.
Oh, wow. That's
he was one of the finalists for that role.
Little bit of movie trivia there.
So...
Can't really see him doing a good job in that role. He's more
he's
of like the
beautiful.
Slick, yeah, quarterback yeah. type. He should have been taken... That dude who replaced Steve on Married with Children's role, not the Ogre role.
Oh, yeah. Nah, he was great in that, though.
Jefferson Darcy? Jefferson gotta Darcy. Love him.
Ted something. I don't know the actor's name, but it's Ted something.
Yeah. You're probably right about that.
Yeah.
That's so okay. sad for him that we can't remember. Either way, my question to you is, let's pick some 80s wrestlers who, if your life was an 80s, or not 80s wrestlers, any kind of wrestlers, that's what the whole point I made.
Sorry.
If your life was an 80s sex comedy and you had a best friend who's always dragging you places, trying to get you laid, being annoying and loud, who is your 80s best friend going to be? What wrestlers are going to get you the most, like, I don't know, topless ladies at a car wash or whatever?
Because clearly, like, my girlfriend just broke up
who's
with me.
Who's pulling those bikini strings?
Or I like some girl that's way out of my league.
Panty raid.
And my buddy's like, you got to get your shit wet before she's even going to... She, like, knows you've never
that's
even
exactly
been with a lady.
That's exactly what he'd be saying.
Oh, my God. Look at Lindsay's chicken legs.
Debbie Epstein has, like, Playboy titties.
Just like Clute.
Holy shit, you guys. Look. Bend over. Yes, take them off. Yes.
Guys, I'm going to catch up with you later, okay?
Dude, that's kind of sad.
He gets so uncomfortable whenever we talk openly about sexual issues. You know, he's never been with a girl before.
McKinley needs to experience the ultimate. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
You mean penis and vagina?
No, dickhead. Sex.
Oh, they're total nymphos.
Throw the ball.
Yes! I'm sure we could convince one of the girls from Bunk 10 to boink McKinley. They're really horny this summer.
Where did he go anyway?
I don't know. He probably went to go write his mommy and daddy a letter or something.
What a fag.
Who are we going to set him up with?
How about Debbie?
No, she's got mono.
Right. How about Debbie?
Who?
You know, Debbie.
Oh, Debbie. No, she's his cousin.
How about Tall Debbie?
Too tall.
Yeah.
How about Debbie Freeman? She's in heat.
Yeah, she wants to French.
No, you shithead. She wants to get banned.
Then I want her.
Well, you can't have... You're being ridiculous.
I'm not being ridiculous. I'm just saying I want her.
This isn't about you. This is about McKinley. Haven't you been listening to what we've been saying?
Yes.
We're trying to get our friend McKinley laid.
Point taken.
Okay. Tonight, get McKinley laid.
Come hell or high water.
Secret handshake.
Get McKinley laid!
Oh. Everybody needs that friend. That's why it's so great that we're that friend to each other.
Correct, yeah.
We have no straight man.
No, hell no.
So we just go to jail a lot or end up having to make public apologies.
There's probably going to be a lot of those in the future. Especially when this shit gets unearthed, when one of us gets in a position of power.
Damn it. We're going to have to nuke this site.
Oh, no. It's up there forever.
Yeah, we'll wait till we get in trouble, then we'll nuke it.
This site is going to James Gunn us over and over again.
Oh, God, I hope I never get successful.
My first pick is a guy. Not only is he saying whatever comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. No filter.
And you could tell on wrestling,
he would
say stuff, but he wouldn't really say what he wanted to say because you knew what he really wanted to say couldn't be said on TV.
Even back in the 80s? God damn.
Not only could he fill your role as your foul-mouthed friend, he was also a loose cannon and could also be your muscle. I'm talking the big bad booty daddy.
Oh, fucking
Scotty Steiner.
Scott Steiner. Legendary. You get that guy some sort of fucking like frat shirt with all those like Greek symbols on it. Tear the sleeves off that thing. Give him like a fucking beer bong. Now you got a movie. Now you got a movie.
He's just always talking about pussy anyways and getting ass.
Greeks. Yes. Yes. I got this one freak that I'm trying to get rid of from Jersey, though. She's out to here. Now, what about that one you got?
In Sheboygan?
Yeah.
Retired.
Okay, listen, what are we going to do?
I got freaks 9 days out of the week. I'll get
7 days in a week.
Man, you ain't big pop. I'm a big bad booty daddy. It's nonstop. Now listen.
English.
I was looking at Scott Steiner clips last week, trying to find some shit around his launching of his Shoney's franchise. He was on morning shows, local morning shows, just making jokes about getting pussy.
Was he?
Yeah, just making jokes about getting pussy. It was, it was Scott Steiner.
Old habits.
He is
that.
He is that.
So I think he'd be a great fit. And like I said, I mean, you can also, maybe you don't have the budget, like you got to pull double duty. He's also like your backup too.
Oh yeah.
You don't fuck with him, that's my friend. You know?
He's not one of the jocks because he's too into drugs to be one of the jocks.
Sure, yeah.
So like he's the guy like when the clean cut jocks come and start trying to push you around.
Yeah.
He's essentially like your, who is that big greasy weirdo from the Mighty Ducks who Fulton Reed. He'd be our Fulton Reed. We'd bring him onto our team of misfits and he'd be beating up all those clean cut pretty boys for
us. He's like into like weird jail workouts and stuff. He doesn't like pussy football
shit. I saw some disturbing pictures this morning. Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks is in jail.
Oh, that's who that was.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of meth, I guess, because he's like 90 pounds and he looks like a 60, 70-year-old man, but he's 38 years old. Like,
yeah, he got arrested a couple years ago for like pissing on his girlfriend.
You get arrested for that?
Well, if she's not co-signing that shit.
You got the wrong girlfriend, brother. Goldberg,
absolutely.
Get your life together.
You'll have to check the Sheik. He tweeted a picture.
He tweeted some Goldberg pictures
of that picture.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what the fuck? Goldberg look older than Iron Sheik, Bubba.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And I was like, who the fuck is this?
Fuck the Goldberg. Sheiky baby love Mo the Cat Gaffney.
Yeah.
Forget what we were talking about, but...
Which 80s
I'm
wrestlers
shook.
Would fit in Mighty
Those
Ducks
pictures
enough?
Shook me this morning when I saw those.
We're recasting the Mighty Ducks with 80s wrestlers, I think.
Okay, that might be what we do next week.
Yeah. In honor of...
Scott Steiner was your pick. It's a great pick.
Thank you.
My first pick... There's sort of a subgenre of these sort of characters. A lot of the times it's like taking place in high school and the main character's like a nerd, but it's never like a classic nerd where he's got like glasses and a pocket protector and all that shit. We're not talking about Steve Urkel. It's just like the dude who's invisible, who nobody in high school pays any attention to. And they always have a friend who's like goofy, who's got some sort of like dumb fashion that he does, and like he really wants to get in with the popular kids. Well, he's always like, we gotta go to this party, like if we get a keg of beer and we go to this party, it's gonna be our ticket to being popular, man. And he's got like a dumb hat or like a trench coat or something, and it's annoying. And I want a friend like this. I want a friend who's gonna be trying to drag me kicking and screaming into the popular kids' parties so we can climb that social ladder. That's why I'm picking loudmouth, just fucking talker with a stupid hairdo. The road dog.
Ooh.
I'm talking the road dog, his stupid shaved head with his dumb braids. Ooh. I'm talking his dumb catchphrases that he tries to get over. These characters
bucket
always,
hats and Oakley sunglasses.
Bucket hats essential to these characters. Dumb catchphrases are essential.
He was always wearing like mesh football jerseys too. Well, so is X-Pac.
Athletic pants. And yeah. I'm just picturing the road dog fitting perfectly right next to me. I got two friends.
Oh, you didn't know?
I got the road dog, and then I got like my female friend who were platonic, but like, you know, she's really hot, but I'm just like, no, I'm not into her.
Maybe
I'm into
the
hot blonde cheerleader girl.
Yeah.
Like, this chick's not a possibility for me at all. I don't even think of her that way. Those movies are stupid.
Yeah, but Road Dogg isn't.
No, Road Dogg's cool. Yeah, actually, I guess I'd still be trying to bang the blonde cheerleader.
Yeah, what the hell?
Why not?
Let's be honest. I got a number two.
Let's get into it.
Sometimes in those movies, you know, he's... Your backup, your funny guy, your foul mouth guy. He can kind of be kind of schlubby.
Ooh, yeah.
Kind of
into that.
You know, kind of
food fight.
Chubbier loser, and maybe he's like using comedy to
some
like
jokes about how he eats a whole pizza
cover up
himself.
His own insecurities. You know what I'm saying?
Go.
Maybe he doesn't want to admit his faults. You know, but he's there. He's
brass.
Your backup guy.
He's gonna push you away before you can push him away.
I got a guy that
his defenses are up, Matt.
He bounced around in wrestling, and he did some things, and you know, nobody ever took him serious because of his body. But
that's a shame.
But then he kind of found the role of being a guy's shit talking friend.
Makes a lot of sense.
And I'm saying, after the days of a Rad Radford, we had Louis Spicoli.
Oh, Louis Spicoli.
Hanging out with a Scott Hall in the NWO.
So good pick. It was so just brief that it didn't really occur to me. But
picking
right
on Larry
there.
Zbysko.
That's essentially what Scott Hall was doing, was he was just picking his own 80s sex comedy friend.
So, just put him right in there. Is the guy into drugs and partying?
I mean,
check.
He did a lot of drugs. It's going to be a little sad when he dies in the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
So we don't need that bringing us down. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, spot on. Spot on.
Wearing that innovator of the Death Valley Driver.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe for a second you were going to go the route of the Blue Meanie. You know, did a lot of that, ooh, I'm the fat guy, so I'm going to wear belly shirts. Everybody tell me how gross I am thing. I think he'd be a solid pick.
I could see that.
But,
I could see that.
He's a little bit too much of a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah.
Louis Spicoli runs that line pretty well.
Was legitimately just doing like the bully shit-talking bit with Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm.
They had a feud with Zbysko where they're like, you're an old square.
True.
And they stole his golf clubs.
They could have gone 15 years into the past and
it still
had
that
same feud with young Zbysko. Still would have been true.
This was like 97, 98.
Stole
they
his golf
stole
clubs.
His golf clubs and then proceeded to break them over Spicoli's knees in the ring while they hurled insults in his direction.
Sometimes you got to let nerds know that they're nerds.
Yeah. So, Louis Spicoli, you were already doing the role, my man.
Kind of right in that
era
right there. The guy I'm picking. Right in that crew. Sometimes in these movies, things go a little bit too far. You set up a bikini car wash or like you get a bunch of strippers to come over for your friend's party or something and something bad happens. One of these chicks ODs or somebody manhandles him and she like takes a tumble off a balcony and breaks her neck something, and suddenly you got a murder on your hands. Mm. And in this sort of instance,
Christian
you're going to want
Slater
somebody
movie.
Who's on an even keel, who's all about business,
right.
Who's not going to let emotions get in anything.
Okay.
He's just going to be able to break it down for everybody who's freaking out. That's why I picked Kevin Nash. He's one of my main guys.
Yeah.
If, you know, Louis Spicoli accidentally kills the hooker,
right.
At our party, when we're all trying to lose our virginities, Kevin's going to be like, whoa, we got to think about this. Are we really going to go to jail for the rest of our lives? I mean...
Yeah, maybe he swears, maybe he's
for
foul
an accident
mouth.
That
maybe
nobody could have seen coming.
But, like, he's level-headed.
Gentlemen, let's think about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. We got a lot of cocaine laid out on all these tables
right
here.
Yeah, his methods might not be honest, but he's going to
need that.
He's
you
thinking
need
the angles.
Somebody
he's
who's
thinking the angles.
Like
you
all
know?
About getting ahead, who's keeping it cool. You ever see Kevin Nash get excited about anything?
No.
Ever?
A paycheck?
He's a pro wrestler.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I guess they didn't really have cameras on him when he got paid pretty often. That could have been a whole new layer to his character that worked out great.
It cleared! Woohoo! Yeah.
That's why he's my number two.
That's a solid pick. You go to these movies.
Number one.
You watch them at the time, you know, and you're like, oh, that's a really fun movie. And then sometimes you go back and you watch them when you're a little older. You're a couple years removed.
Yeah, you're like, now this is a super fun movie.
You're like, oh, man, this the guy that's supposed to be the funny foul-mouth guy.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of this shit's real hackney, real cheesy, right? Well, I got a guy. You go back and you might feel that way. But at the time, people were like, this is...
He was on top of the world.
This is a guy right here.
These yuck yucks and get a laugh.
This is a guy right here. And this guy in specific was one of the first... He was one of the first guys that people were like... A couple years ago, if this was still the Attitude Era, he'd be huge.
Wow.
And I got to go...
We're going that late. Interesting.
I got to go one of the biggest big mouths in the business. And I'm talking about... Ken Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, Ken Kennedy. Looked like he was going to be a big deal there for a while.
This is like...
Didn't really happen.
2005 to 2009, I want to say.
Back when he was just chomping gum and all his promos. I could see that guy bullying one of his nerd friends into trying to get some pussy. Right?
He could be swearing. He could
He's probably
saying
doing
edgy
that somewhere
stuff.
Right now.
Right. Maybe still in TNA. I don't know. I don't think so.
No. I watched a couple episodes of that one night. And he was not mentioned.
But either way, he was that guy. And like I said, you go back and you're like, this guy's just kind of a stroke.
He's got those stupid tattoos.
He's saying cheesy shit.
He's still got like dyed blonde Eminem hair like 6 years after anybody else was doing that.
But like Stifler. They all love Stifler.
Yep. He's the Stifler. But then Stifler it turned the out like, for sure.
Guys, Stifler isn't very cool.
Stifler sucks. Not the actor. He went on to do things I really
Sean
liked.
Sean William Scott.
But the character Stifler
guy.
In the American Pie movies, no. Nothing he does is funny.
Yeah.
He's probably the worst part of those movies.
Kennedy.
I'd have to think about that. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't work in those movies.
I've never seen one of them, so I'm just going to take your word.
That first one was beloved at the time.
And I was angry teenager who was like, why do I want it? I hated everything.
Plugged into the zeitgeist of the time. You watch it now, there's nothing to like in there.
I was a bitter high school gentleman. Yeah. Was like, why do I want to see a fucking movie about fucking high schoolers having a good time? Fuck them.
Now you've grown into a bitter old man who wants nothing more than desperately to see some high schoolers having a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm, it's funny how life changes a man.
Cruel. Time's a cruel, fickle mistress.
It's been a cruel summer.
A cruel, cruel summer?
My number one is just a guy who I felt like I couldn't leave off my list just because he's spent so many years now just dedicating himself to making sure that his only personality trait ever is that he's always completely horny.
Oh.
And that's Jerry the King Lawler. Because literally since like 1996, his entire character has just been the guy who's always fucking crazy for boobies.
Yeah.
He's just chasing girls around, trying to get their bikini bottoms off, spraying them with a hose. If there was a hose out there by ringside, he'd just be spraying down all those girls.
Opportunity missed.
Just he really plugs into another nice 80s trope that I love from those movies where all the people playing high school kids are like clearly in their 30s. So I feel like in my movie, it would be a high school movie. We'd be trying to lose our virginity, and 65-year-old Jerry the King Lawler would just inexplicably be playing a high school kid.
Not
I think it would work.
Inexplicably. He's the kid, he's in your class, but he got held back a year.
Oh, you do a couple good jokes about that.
Yeah.
Like, he's 6th-year fucking senior.
Aren't you 19?
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever. My birthday was late.
Jerry the King Lawler. You're still kicking, man. Still looking good. We're supporting you through your tough times right now. Appreciate what a corny old hornball you are. So I'm going to put you as the number one on my list.
Side note, because it came to me when I was putting this list together earlier. If you're doing like, like Biff's gang in Back to the Future.
Yeah. You get one guy in some 3D glasses.
You got the one guy in the gang
who says racist
that
stuff.
Just like laughs at everything. Brian Christopher.
Oh, Waller's yeah, son. He could be that annoying little...
He had that great annoying laugh.
Things sitting
cool.
on Jabba the Hutt's yeah. throne, just cackling at everything yeah. Jabba the Hutt says.
He had a great look for that.
In
you
this
know?
Metaphor, I am Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that guy was obnoxious. Another guy who was doing, like, I'm the white guy rapper stuff, like, years and years and years after just, like, white guy rapper was a thing at all.
Yeah.
Just holding strong with that.
God bless him.
Hmm. R.I.P.D., brother.
R.I.P.D. indeed.
Hopefully he's date raping angels up in heaven.
Oh, man. Hopefully.
Would you know my name if I roofied you in heaven?
Oof. Well, R.I.P.D. to another baby oil and blow. What do we got on the docket
week,
for next week?
Next week, we've got one more of these little trifling ass typical episodes to get through. Maybe not. Let's give them a little credit. Let's not poo-poo them before it happens. WCW's got their big go-home show to Clash of the Champions, March 26, 1988. We'll see if they can be as focused promoting that show as this go-home show was promoting WrestleMania 4. And then the week after that, we're going to do WrestleMania 4. That's going to be a big episode, Matt.
That's right. So enjoy us for a week as we keep a positive mind. And then join us next mm-hmm. week when we poo-poo that episode of NWA's WCW on Baby Oil and Blow.